Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our memorial meeting here at Banstead. You will see that we don't have our usual pianist, and therefore your indulgence is required for Sister Audrey, and we will endeavour to play through, as usual, the opening hymn, which is hymn number 195. Hymn 195. Now thank we, all our God, with hearts and hands and voices. He wondrous things has done, in which his flock rejoices. O may his bounteous God through all our life be near, and give us joyful hearts with blessed peace to cheer. Hymn 195. Before listening to the words of exhortation, we shall continue by singing hymn number 48. Hymn number 48 to the tune Talis Canon. Great God, we sing thy mighty hand, by which supported still we stand. The opening year thy mercy shows, that mercy crowns it till it close. Hymn number 48.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, Brother David Fisher is due to be with us this morning, but unfortunately he can't be here, but he has prepared the following address, which I will read to you. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Just like the Titanic, which had received warnings via wireless telegraphy, the people were too busy having a good time. An editorial penned by the editor of the Christadelphian, May 1912, commented as follows. It was after the dinner hour, and many mighty men of wealth were carousing and planning a great banquet in New York to celebrate this latest maritime achievement, and when the fatal crash came. Many were playing cards in the saloon and even resumed their game after the event. The band played lively tunes to keep up the people's spirits. But gradually, the truth dawned. And presently, the band played, Nearer, My God, to Thee. We are not heartless. We know trouble and face death with the rest of our fellows. But query, can we serve Mammon wholeheartedly all our lives? And then, when we find that we've only 10 days to live, turn and get nearer to God in the hour of death. There is only one true answer, says the article in the Christadelphian. We cannot. Many people in today's world, and many on board the Titanic, had the attitude that we started with from Luke 12. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But the next verse, verse 20, continues. Luke 12, verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what have prepared for yourself. So the words of Acts 2, verse 40 are applicable to this doomed world system when it says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. The only hope is to join those who made it to the lifeboat, and there is a lifeboat available. One of the surviving passengers on the Titanic later reported that some of the passengers shouted to me not to get in the lifeboat, as they had such confidence in the ship. So it is with the majority of people today who dismiss the offer of salvation in the Scriptures. They have confidence in the ability of men to solve the world's problems. Either that, or they are just resigned to their inevitable doom. As the world remembered the Titanic disaster this month, we do well to consider the parable that we have outlined. All of us here this morning have answered the warnings and have seen the signs and have looked to a lifeboat. And that lifeboat and life jacket have been provided to us by the work of the Lord Jesus. In effect, we have all escaped from the doomed sinking ship, but we have all, through baptism, got into a smaller lifeboat, and we now each sit in that small boat on the vast ocean of the world that still looks to devour us while we wait and prepare ourselves to be rescued by the spiritual Carpathia liner to take us to safety. One of the first things that the surviving passengers who managed to escape into the lifeboats did was to join the lifeboats one to another, so that they didn't drift apart from each other. To drift apart from each other would have made it harder to have been rescued. And so we have to come together to help and encourage each other in our lifeboats, as we have done this morning. God has used the forces of water throughout the scriptures to further his purpose with this earth. And we can see this right at the beginning of Genesis with the events recorded about Noah and the great flood. The people in Noah's day were exactly the same as those on the Titanic. They didn't want to know about God. They didn't think they needed to be saved. They trusted in themselves only, and as a result, failed to heed Noah's warning about the impending doom and the impending flood, which had never been seen before in those parts. They too could have been safely inside the ark that they all knew Noah had been building for many years before the rains came. But like those passengers who trusted in the unsinkable ship, they perished in the flood waters that came exactly as prophesied by Noah. What about Jonah? He did not want to go and do what God had asked him, and looked to escape by ship, as far away as possible from Nineveh. The boat he was in nearly perished in the storm, and he had to be thrown overboard into the raging seas for the storm to be calmed. Under normal circumstances, he would have been drowned and consumed by the waters. But we know how God had arranged for a large fish to rescue him. And he spent 3 days inside that fish, realizing that he had to go and do what God had asked him to do in the first place. Our first reaction to Jonah's actions may be to consider him foolish, and he was. If we stop to consider our own lives, we must admit that there are times when we find ourselves also running in the opposite direction to the way we know we should go. We are fully aware of the commandments of God, yet we still disobey and go in the opposite direction. How very typical of human nature was Jonah's action. So often the human race is found going in the opposite direction to the will of God, something we have inherited from our first parents, as we know. From the moment the serpent spoke to Eve, the human race has had a preference to believe a lie rather than believe God's true word. Rebellion against God seems to be second nature to us. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose, and the ship threatened to break up. We read in Jonah 1, verse 4. The sailors cast lots to find whose God was causing the trouble. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the lot fell upon Jonah and told them to pick up and cast him into the sea, and it would calm for them. And it would be calm for them. These superstitious sailors were afraid because of what Jonah had told them about his God. And what did they do? Jonah 1, verse 13. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. They relied upon their own strength and their own energy. They tried to fix things with their own strength. It was God that they were working against. He was the cause of the great wind and the mighty tempest in the sea. He was the cause of their distress and fear. God was shaping events to witness against the Ninevites, and in the fullness of time, against the Pharisees of Jesus' day, and eventually of those in our day. We have storms and tempests in our own lives, and God uses them to shape our characters and to correct us and guide us in the right way. And have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that address you as father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Continuing in Hebrews 12, verse 7, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness." Verse 11, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." How often is God trying to teach us a lesson? But we insist upon trying to row the boat against the storm all by ourselves, using the idols of the 20th century. None can fight against God or thwart his purpose. The sooner we surrender to God and ask for help, the sooner we shall know peace and calm. Sometimes the storm may continue to lash us for some time. It is so much easier when God is on our side. It may be some time before we realize just what it was that God was trying to teach us. And so Jonah became the savior of the mariners, saving them from the eternal death and allowing himself to be thrown overboard. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the savior of those who turn to him in obedience, saving them from eternal death, thanks to his own willing sacrifice. Therefore, we can see that Jonah foreshadows the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this way, he was a sign. The water that became a grave for Titanic passengers and for the disobedience in the days of Noah can equally be seen in Scripture as a means of our salvation. Peter says in his first epistle that 8 souls were saved by water. Those 8 souls, we read, in the ark, went through the symbolic baptism and were saved by water. Jonah also went through that symbolic baptism, being thrown overboard in the raging waters, but was saved by the great fish. And so we have been baptized in water into the saving name of the Lord Jesus, who is represented in the bread and the wine before us on the table. Salvation and eternal life, says Romans 6, verse 23, is a gift. We are sinners and we cannot earn it, but that gift is determined in this life. The Lord backs up his promise of reward with his all-powerful names. I am the Alpha, the the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 21, verse 13. In verses 14 and 15, we see that all believers received the reward of the right of the tree of life and the entrance into the New Jerusalem. All unbelievers, whose lifestyles revealed their unsaved condition, will be outside the blessings of the eternal state. They will be lost forever. No one has to go to the eternal grave. It's a matter of an individual's choice. The door of salvation is still open. Verse 17, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Verses 20 and 21, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In these closing words of the Scriptures, we have what every believer's response should be to our Lord's promise that he is coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. For our memorial hymn, we have chosen hymn 190. Hymn 190. The bread and wine we take, O Lord, and in these emblems see, thy body broke, thy blood outpoured, as we remember thee. Hymn 190. Thank you. now to conclude our meeting by the singing of hymn 168, after which Brother Cecil Harris will lead us in a closing prayer. Hymn 168. Now may he who from the dead brought the shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ our living head, from all ill us safely keep. Hymn 168.